Now, about this time last year, I last did the Bible study, and we were in the book of Joshua. And what I'd like to do is recommence our series in the book of Judges, I'm sorry, not the book of Joshua. And we are not going to start from the beginning, but we are going to look at each of the different judges in turn. But before I just give you a brief outline of the book, I just want to mention a few commentaries that I found helpful. If you want a very simple commentary that will give you a good outline, there's Opening Up Judges. I don't know if you can see that, by Simon Robinson. Simon Robinson. It's one of the day one commentaries. They're very good, just to give a brief overview. Then, of course, one of my favourites, good old Dale Ralph Davis and his own inimitable style. Very good. And then maybe the best all-round commentary is Gordon Keddy, Even in Darkness, the Welling commentary on Judges. So those are some commentaries I can recommend. Now, very briefly, I just want to mention the structure of the book of Judges. It's divided into three parts, and the first part is the prologue, chapters 1 to 3, verse 6. And this is all about, as we had in our reading, the failure of the generation that followed Joshua. Joshua was used mightily of God to conquer the land of Canaan. And then, after he died, the generation that followed did not know the Lord. So that really sets the theme to the whole book. It's not an easy book in that sense. It's about the failures of God's people. And then the second part of the book, and this is the biggest chunk, is from chapter 3, verse 7, down to chapter 16, verse 31. And here we have God raising up judges who deliver Israel from their enemies. And we're just going to look at the first judge tonight. That will be Othniel. And then let me just mention a few of the others. Ehud, Deborah, Gideon, maybe he's one of the more famous ones, Tola and Jair, Jephthah, and of course, there is Samson. So that's the biggest part of the book. And then the third part is really two appendices where we have two examples of the worst kind of sins among the children of Israel. The idolatry of Micah in chapters 17 and 18, and then the crime of the men of Gibeah and the war against Benjamin in chapters 19 to 21. Now, I don't want to mention any of the details in those. We'll get to them in due time. So if we start by looking at Othniel, and you will notice that for each judge, I've used the inscription cycle. So Othniel is the first judge, has the first cycle, and then Ehud, the second judge, the second cycle, and so forth. Now, what do we mean by that word cycle in the book of Judges? Well, there is this pattern, that's what the cycle is referring to, that is repeated throughout the book. You may even have noticed it reappearing a number of times in our reading. If we were in the church hall now, I would pause at this point and ask somebody if they could explain what that formula, what that cycle is. But if you've got your Bible in front of you, if you look at chapter 2, verse 11, you've got the cycle mentioned there. Israel forsake God. They're unfaithful to him. And God then judges them by bringing them under the oppression of an enemy. And then Israel cry out to God for deliverance. And God, because he's gracious, raises up a judge. And the judge is used of God to deliver his people from the oppression of the enemy. And then there is peace for a few years. And then once the judge dies, the cycle occurs all over again. The children of Israel forget and they forsake the Lord. And the Lord judges them and delivers them into the hand of the enemy. And they cry out to the Lord. And the Lord hears and provides another judge. And the judge provides rest for the land. So you have that cycle 7 times in the middle part of the book. And what is interesting is that the sins that the people commit get worse as you go through the book. It's like ever-decreasing circles. Some of you will remember the sitcom, Ever-Decreasing Circles. Well, these cycles are like ever-decreasing circles. They get worse. Sin goes deeper. And yet, the judges become more renowned as you go through the book, with Samson being the most famous of the judges. So we haven't got much time. So all I want to do tonight to lead us in to our time of prayer is look at this first judge, Othniel, and he's given a very short paragraph, so we should be all right. So look at chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, where we have mention of Othniel. Now, I don't need to mention the cycle again, the formula, remember that, and see how it's given an example in terms of Othniel. So the children of Israel forsake the Lord. And we just want to mention, they served the Baals and the Asherahs. Those were the male and female fertility gods of the Canaanites. And in the previous chapter, we're told that the children of Israel played the harlots. They're in a relationship with Jehovah, but they commit spiritual adultery. They become unfaithful. I think that's why the book of Judges is so relevant to us in the 21st century. We can be guilty of turning away from God and becoming idol worshippers. And we don't have to go to some groves to worship some fertility gods to be guilty of that. We can have idols of steel. We can have idols of bricks and mortar. Anything that takes the place of our Lord and Savior in our heart and life is in danger of becoming an idol. And we often don't know that we are turning away from the Lord until God, in his kindness, causes what happens to Israel to happen to us spiritually. We are chastised by the Lord and we are oppressed by an enemy. And this is what happens to the children of Israel here. Now look at the name of the enemy. Before that, verse 8, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And notice how this is put. And he, that is the Lord, sold them into the hand of the enemy, who happens to be the king of Mesopotamia. Now, the word sold in the original is quite a significant word. It means God doing the transaction. It is God who is in sovereign control here and who is allowing his own people to come under the oppression of the enemy. Now, the enemy, the king of Mesopotamia, has got a very interesting name, hasn't he? And this name appears, I don't know how many times, about four times, I think, in a short paragraph. Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. Now, I am told by the experts that this name, in the original, has this meaning. Doubly wicked. That's what this king was nicknamed. Doubly wicked of the two rivers. There's a play on words there. Doubly wicked of the two rivers. I think it's Dale Ralph Davis in his own way who coins the phrase double evil from double river. And this is the enemy that God uses to bring his people to their senses. And for 8 years, they're under the oppression of this man. Let's hear Dale Ralph Davis. Yahweh, little Israel's God, is Lord of history. This is God in control. He so loves us as his children. He won't let us go away from him and not feel the sorrow, as it were. He will bring us back. So little Israel has God as its Lord. And he's not just the Lord of a small group. He's the Lord of history. Not only my times, says Davis, but history's times are in Yahweh's hands. And the church should be comforted by this. Even if God is using coronavirus to bring us to our spiritual senses, we should not panic. We should not think that God has lost control. The Lord can use even the most terrible, the most wicked of things, like double evil from double river, to bring us to our knees. So that's the first thing. That's the enemy in this cycle here with Othniel, the first judge. And then, in the second place, let's look at what the children of Israel do. This is why God allows them to come under the oppression of Cushan-Rish-Athaim. What do? They were going away from the Lord. But what did they do? After 8 years, verse 9, they cried out to the Lord. That's what chastisement is going to produce. Whatever brings us to that place where we're desperate, and instead of relying on an idol, we just cry to our God, then I think it has been good for us to have been afflicted. Tozer's got a famous book with the title Born After Midnight, and it's taken from a quotation which goes something like this, that revivals are often born after midnight. And Tozer explains it. There is nothing special in the midnight hour. It's not the fact that we spend a great deal of time praying, maybe after midnight or all night, that causes God to come and visit us by his Spirit. No. That's got the wrong emphasis. It's this sense of utter need in the heart that causes us even to stay up after midnight to call upon God. I think that's the right emphasis here. Are we desperate? Do we cry? Is there an oh in our praying? And then the judge that God raises, it's very interesting. Othniel, there's hardly anything about him. One commentator says this is the most boring description in the whole book. He doesn't sound like a dynamic personality or a colorful character or a mover and shaker. Here is this enemy, double trouble from double river. Who is going to stand up to such an oppressor? And then God raises up this nobody called Othniel. Well, we know why a nobody like Othniel could beat such an enemy as Double Trouble from Double River. I know I keep on repeating his name, but that's what the writer in this short paragraph is doing. It's as if there's a sense of humor, you see, in the Word of God. And when the children of Israel would be reminded of this account of God's dealings in delivering them from Double Trouble from Double River. They I can imagine they would be laughing as they would hear again and again of this big gangster kind of oppressor being beaten by a boring man like Othniel. How did Othniel do it? Well, verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit with a capital S, not a small S. It's not the Spirit of Othniel. It's the Spirit of God, not by might, nor by human power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. John Knox, a very great man, certainly not a boring grey character, mightily used of God in the Scottish Reformation. But John Knox said of the men that God used in that time, that they were ordinary men filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that you? Do you feel so insignificant, not just maybe in Christian work, but wherever God has put you? How can I be a person who can make a difference? How can I stem the tide of iniquity in our country? How can I have any influence? Listen, if God can use an Othniel, he can use you and he can use me if we are filled by his Holy Spirit. It's the people who know their God who shall be strong and do exploits. What a privilege tonight to be able to come to a God who can give us the Holy Spirit in prayer. And then one last thing, so that we can start praying as soon as possible. Every judge in this book is a type, a model of the deliverer. There's not much about Othniel, but Othniel would not have been perfect. The more you go through the book, the more imperfect the judges get, especially when you come to Samson. But they are all types of Jesus Christ. He's the greater than Othniel. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about Othniel that points to Jesus Christ. In the first place, we're told that he is the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. He's Caleb's nephew. Now, why is that significant? Well, in the reading, we had that the children of Israel, as they were forsaking the Lord, started intermarrying with the Canaanites. But Caleb and his family remained pure. And Othniel, this judge that God provides, is from a pure line. And how much more is that true of the greater than Othniel, Jesus Christ? He's the only one that is absolutely pure, because it was the Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary's womb. So there was no sin at all. That's wonderful, isn't it? A sinless Savior who is also the friend of sinners. And then there's one other thing about Othniel which points to Jesus Christ. What tribe is Othniel from? Can you see? He's from the tribe of Judah. That tribe that Jesus is going to come out of. And Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus faced a much worse enemy than Double Trouble from Double River. Jesus faced the devil himself. But the devil was no match to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is victorious, and we are on the victory's side. And we, as we come to prayer, are standing on that ground of victory. So whatever we may be oppressed concerning tonight, let us be strong in the greater than Othniel. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Christ alone, our hope is found.